Hey everybody, this is Doc Mac from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It's Tuesday, April 19th, 2016, and I am joined here by none other than our Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn.
How you doing, everyone?
And we are ready to do another podcast. It's been a little bit again since our last podcast.
It's been almost 3 weeks. We did last one was, on the 31st of March?
Was it?
Yes.
Wow, a lot has gone on. There's been
Too much.
So, it's been a lot. Three new games out on the arcade floor. Lots of new world records.
Several events.
Mm-hmm. It's MGC and a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. So let's jump right in with some scoring news.
All right, for the Mystery Mondays, want to do those first?
Sure.
All right. So going back to April 4th,
that was a turkey shoot.
Turkey shoot with the feathers on the screen.
Oh, such a cool game.
It's a great effect. Jamie Tibbetts ended up winning that one. He snaked that from Gores at the last minute after Gores left for the night. So that was very sneaky.
His score was
88,100 was his score on that, and that's still standing as a house high.
That's a great score on a very great game and very rare game.
Yeah.
Very happy that that one went up, and huge shout-outs to Doug Fox for fixing our board.
Yep.
And a great addition to the floor. A lot of people have been playing it.
Cool. Next week was Puyan. Yes. That's the 11th, and Jamie Tibbetts once again has won Puyan. Now, I know he said he had previously played it on, like, a MAME event online, and then he ended up putting up 165,000. And that gave him his sixth win overall, so he's starting to pull ahead of the other competitors.
Yes, it's. I know everybody's working really hard to win that 10X championship belt.
Yep.
He's over the halfway mark now.
He is, so everyone's got eyes on Tibbetts now.
Yes.
He's got the spotlight.
We'll see if he can hold on to it.
Yep.
Just yesterday, we put up our new game, Top Hunter, Roddy and Kathy.
I never heard of that one before.
That was one, often I go on in search of games and look up other people's favorite types of games, and that was like a side-scrolling beat-em-up game that was in somebody's list, and I was very familiar with it. And
you had played it before?
I had.
Oh, okay.
I had, just on emulation, though, and really cool game. Wasn't that difficult to find, but surprisingly, according to Arcade, there's no other arcades that have it.
Wow.
So we had to add it to Arcade. And
that one Neo Geo cab's full of awesome now. It's such a great cabinet.
And there's still two spots remaining.
I know.
I just got one new Neo Geo game yesterday.
Okay.
And I think I have the last game picked out.
Okay.
But it's a rare one.
Cool.
If you could have guessed.
Yeah. But I can't guess what it is, though. At least not on the air.
No. if we get it, we'll be a cool game.
Okay.
But,
no hints?
It's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. I don't know if I've ever seen one. It's something that will have to be brought in from Japan.
Okay. So, Top Hunter. Peter Gore has won that. And he put up 183,900. So, he now has 4 wins, and he's tied in second with James now. So we've got a race for second going as well.
Well, and in all honesty,
they can easily catch up.
Games.
Yeah.
It's Tibbetts won 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It's just a couple of wins.
Sure. Yeah.
So important on being versatile at all these different types of games.
Yep.
So definitely still anybody's match, but next Monday. It's going to be Sega week, of Sega week.
Does that mean the new game is going to be Sega?
It would seem likely, but not necessarily.
Okay.
Just as we have been trying to tempt people with our Monday mystery game to get them off of playing Sega week.
That's true.
Maybe. How villainous would it be?
It'd be sneaky. Try to get him off Sega Week.
Try to get him off Sega Week with a really, really good non-Sega game.
Uh-huh. That would be a trick.
I'm not above that.
That's a ruse.
We'll see.
Yep.
It'll Sega Week, I am super excited for. Lot in store for it, and wow, it's gonna be really good.
Cool. We'll
get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll cover that. Cool. First of all, I just want to go through the house highs and world record set in the last few weeks here. So I'm going to go down the list, and apologies if I miss you. I tried to go back through Arcade and pick out all the ones I could find. So back on April the 2nd, we had Massey's put up a new Orrail world record, 493,720.
That is such a cool game for Sega.
Yeah. Pretty unique.
It is.
Yeah.
It was one. Me and James were playing that quite a bit.
I remember that, yeah.
And I wish I had more time to go back to that one, and that's a great score.
Yeah.
Really, really fun game.
Yeah, I could see myself getting into that one.
That's a decent one. I thought you would really be all over that one.
Yeah, I may look at it again.
Cool.
Next up, we have Fred DeHart, Battle Garega. He put up 4.5 million, and that's outdoing who held that before? Jamie. I think Jamie had the score. His score was still standing from Mystery Monday the time we ran it. And slowly but surely, Eddie and Haruza are creeping up on their heels too.
Yes.
So we'll see if anyone else can challenge Fred's score. But for now, Fred has got 4,512,000.
Cool.
And then Jamie, of course, with his mystery game win on Turkey Shoot, 88,100. Massey's also had a Fighter's History Dynamite score, which just today was outdone by Jeremiah. But Massey's had the first inaugural world record, 64,050.
That's a cool game.
It is.
We put that up quietly after, right before...
Oh, is it to make Argus the 500th? Was that one of those?
It was. Okay. We put up Fighter's History Dynamite and
Blazing Star. That's right.
And it's a really fun fighting game.
Yeah.
We would have wanted to do it for a Monday mystery game, but we had to put it out just so we could make Argus number 500. But... definitely. I hope we see some more of our regulars that are into fighting games here, because you never know. There's most likely there's going
to
be
a bound to happen.
It's the odds. Got to play the odds.
Yep. Cool. Who do we have next up? Kevin Willis with a new house high in Missile Command, 35,460. He did that on the 6th. He's been upping that score slowly and surely. And then. Actually, that Thursday before MGC, Steven Lucas came into town and put up several scores.
Yeah.
He had a new world record in Dangar UFO Robo, which had stood for a while. I think Rocco held that score for a few years.
Yeah.
He put up 278,100. That's a cool game. And what kind of deterred me from playing that before was that flight stick controller, but now it's been switched to a regular joystick.
Yeah.
I think I might give that a shot now.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely a fun game. It's in the same cabinet with Terra Cresta.
Yeah.
And a lot of people... really into Terra Crest. Both games are very similar.
Right.
And just one with... I know the stick was a deterrent for a few people.
Yeah.
Same thing with Alcon.
Yes, me too, so, yeah.
There's a few more sticks we want to change. We might change Choplifter back to...
to a regular joystick?
To a regular stick. And Solar Fox needs a different stick too.
So. Oh, right. What else did Steven Lucas do? He had a new house high in Pac-Mania.
Yes.
290,430. And then he had, I think it's an inaugural world record on Power Drift. He had 1,720,498. So he had those scores. He put up a Polestar score, but has since been beaten out.
Oh, very cool. Huge shout outs to Steven Lucas for making it out before MGC.
Yeah, nice to see him on his way up, and then we saw him at MGC as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then James on the 9th. Put up a new house high in Monster Bash.
And that was at MGC, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are the couple scores that were done at MGC. We had a few scores.
James had Monster Bash. He put up just over 90,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put up a new world record and a 1cc completion on Captain America and the Avengers with 840,602 points.
Yep.
Got the congratulations.
Thank you.
Really impressive.
Yep, got the 1cc on that one. It's a fun game. I like it.
At a show.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that those were all the ones that were done at MGC.
Yep, there were only a few, and I think those were it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there was a score done on Skycursor, but we found out later you had a higher score that you were Mitchelling in your back pocket.
I was... totally wasn't Michelin that one. I know I had sent that.
You probably sent it to me and I forgot to put it in or something.
Yeah. It was...
you had the score, yeah.
Yeah.
But someone had thought they had met the score.
Yes.
But they hadn't. Actually, it was Brad from the dev team, if you all know him.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Well, we had exchanged some good...
Yeah, it's a good strat talk there. I heard it.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Then Pete Gores on the 11th put up a new Polestar House High score of 203,930.
Cool. I'm looking forward to digging into that one at some point soon. Looks like a lot
very,
of fun.
Very, that's a really cool looking game. That and Blazing Star. Very solid R-type feeling games. Mm-hmm. Really cool. And now that it's up front as Top Hunter is...
Oh, yeah.
It's in that up in the Monday Mystery Game spot. So maybe some of the, like you and Haruza and Eddie will get some time to play it.
Yeah, whatever's close we can sneak in. Sneak a game every now and then. Then after, let's see, was that the same day? Oh, no, it's the 14th. We had Fred put a new world record, or not a world record, I'm sorry. The Blazing Star score that Fred put up is 3,184,660. I marked that world record in my show notes, but that's actually not a world record. There's a higher score on Twin Galaxies of over 6 million, actually.
Wow.
And Tibbetts has a score of over 5 million done at Retrocade, so Fred is creeping up on Tibbetts on that one. So hopefully we'll see a good back and forth there.
And then you'll just take it.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll probably go to Polestar first and do them in order.
Yeah. Keep an eye out when the Polestar score changes. Blazing Star won't be far behind.
Yeah. And then I wanted to give a big shout out to Matthew Kavanaugh.
Yes. Yeah, he's been showing up more regularly. It's really awesome.
Yeah, he's kind of a new regular with us here. But he's got a few impressive scores. That score he put up on Heavy Metal on the 16th. Heavy Bro? What'd I say?
Heavy Metal.
Heavy Metal. What's that?
It's not Heavy Metal?
Yeah.
There is a game called Heavy Metal.
Oh, okay. It's also music.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all right. That whole clam thing all over again.
All right. So we had, what did he put up? 1.6 some million, didn't he?
1.496.
Oh, 1.496. Okay. So he, yeah, there was a world record that had stood for about 10 years that he beat.
Yeah,
which was really impressive. He's done some great scores since he's been here. He's played that. He's played Twin Cobra 2. He's really inching up on the world record on that as well. So it's awesome to see him come in and really do some damage.
Yeah.
So I look forward to more high scores from Matthew.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just the beginning.
It's going to happen.
Then James White on the 13th. There's been so many back and forths on Forgotten Worlds.
Yeah, since we've recorded, it's gone back and forth three times, I want to say.
Yeah, James and Brian Shillow just... Oh,
They're machines.
They are.
Yeah. It's
like Splatterhouse going back and forth. And watching these guys play is just unbelievable. And they have such different strategies of how they play. Like, you can just watch it, like, without even seeing who's playing, you can just look at the gameplay and just be like, oh, that's James.
Like, yep. Yeah, it's kind of funny because like I was looking through videos on the hard drive. I'm like, I can tell who that is.
Yeah.
But then the cool thing is that James, I saw him back on the machine still playing, even though he has the score. He's like, I still want to raise it. I want 6.5 million.
Yeah.
And he's got 6.498, so he's still trying to push his score. So he wants to really make it a good score.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That is
excellent. Yeah.
Shout outs to both those guys.
Definitely.
That's really, really awesome.
Mm-hmm. And just yesterday, we had a few scores put up. John Haruza just edged out Norbert by a few thousand points on Super Street Fighter IV Arcade Edition. 1,674,700. It's a new world record.
Very nice.
And
congrats to Haruza.
Congrats, yeah. We'll see if Norbert comes in and answers the call there. I'm sure he'll be in soon.
There's definitely some room left in that score, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you get the hidden battle, you get all the perfects, you can get a lot.
You're sure.
And then I think probably the best score I've seen in a while, Jamie Tibbetts put up a Don Patchy score of over 12 million. He put up 12,276,630. He looped the game. He made it to stage 3 of loop 2 on Don Patchy.
Very impressive.
It's super impressive. So he ended up edging out Walter's score from about two or three years ago. And congrats to him for beating the first loop. That's really impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
And worth holding up Monday's mystery game for.
Yeah. He held it up for a few minutes.
Yeah.
That's all right. We'll get him some slack.
Oh, absolutely. It's a world record.
Yeah.
And then congrats again to you yesterday for putting up a new world record in Crime City.
Yeah, I've been edging that up slowly.
You put up 291,550.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen you playing it. It's awesome.
It's a fun game. I should have started playing that sooner.
Yeah.
It's short, which I like.
How long is it?
I'm getting to stage 5 of 6, and it's taking me like 10 to 12 minutes to get that far.
Oh, that's not bad.
So I think the last stage is kind of like a more endurance, longer stage, so the whole game's probably going to be like 15, 20 minutes max.
Wow.
So I actually do like shorter games better. That's why I like Contra a lot. This is short, but sweet.
Definitely a 1cc on that coming up.
I hope so soon, yeah.
Only a matter of time?
I would say so, yeah.
Do you know what game you're going on to next?
Either Polestar or... I might go up for one of my Grail 1ccs. I've been thinking about trying to do 1cc Final Fight or Ghouls and Ghosts.
Wow.
Or Knights of the Round.
Wow.
One of those three. I got a trio of Capcom games that I really have wanted to dig into.
That's Ghouls and Ghosts and Final Fight.
Both tough.
Yeah. Both great games. Would love to see either of those. And Knights of the Round's awesome, but
yeah.
Definitely those other two are.
Yep. They're tough.
They are tough.
Yep.
They are tough. I hope it's Ghouls and Ghosts.
We'll see. Yeah, the first thing I have to do is be able to clear it, because Martin, he not only cleared the game, both loops, but he put some extra padding on top of that.
Right.
So, that score is going to be hard to beat if I try to go for that score, but I definitely want to try clearing it first.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be fun when I get to it. So.
Very cool. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really awesome. Two world records for you.
Yeah, in the last couple weeks.
Since our last podcast. That's mm-hmm. impressive.
Thanks. So that's all for scoring I had.
Very cool.
Yep.
Moving on, we've got. I guess we can cover some of the events that we have coming up.
Of course, next week.
Starting Monday.
Yeah.
Sega Week.
Dun dun dun.
Oh man. Nothing will prepare our high.
And I've heard you say the tournament's going to win. Haven't you said something to that effect?
I am. I'm putting my bets on the tournament.
Is that like Vegas? The house wins.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, the tournament is going to win this one, I predict. It's gonna be good.
Now are we announcing our guest?
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be a good announcement, I think.
Alright, we have our good friend Chris Tang.
Yes.
Coming in for Sega Week.
Chris Tang's awesome.
He is. Chris Tang, who worked on... he was out for our first Developers Day.
Yeah.
It was him, Jeff Lee, and Brian Cohen.
Yep.
And Chris Tang had worked on Primal Rage, Primal Rage 2, Street Fighter 3.
He was on Third Strike, or which?
Third Strike.
Yeah, Third Strike, that's right.
Rival Schools. Just so many great fighting games and...
he's a super nice guy too. He's a really nice guy. He'll tell you anything you want to know about the stuff he knows. Like, he's really humble about his accomplishments, which is awesome to see.
Yeah. He was here for how long was he here last time?
4 days or so.
4 or 5 days. Yeah. It was just awesome talking with him, and it's seeing somebody who's so into gaming, and it's just really cool. And
so is he gonna compete in Sega Week? Or can you say, or does he not know?
I don't know. I don't. He's
a master of Sega games, I've heard.
He is the Sega champion, actually.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
So that might be
a
little tough for our guys. We'll see if
a local can win this, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestle it away from him.
But our regulars have all these games at their disposal that they can play all the time, so they should have it no problem.
Okay, all right.
I would think. Unless the tournament just wins.
Yeah, unless the tournament's...
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But Chris Tang would be out. He has not said if he's playing, but he would totally be...
He'd be welcome to. He doesn't know the games.
No, nobody knows the games. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
I am super excited for this.
I know a lot of people are gunning for this tournament. Masi's, this would make his third in a row. He has been on the floor playing Sega games. Have you noticed?
I have noticed. Yeah. I saw him sitting on Gain Ground and Hammer Away.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's doing.
You think that's going to help?
The tournament's not going to care what he plays, I don't think.
All right. Well, I can't wait either. I do have fun running these events. You know, me and you both kind of run them, but we both, you know, I think we both get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing what people can do and how much they improve from their baseline scores and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. This one, for me, being such a huge Genesis fan.
Yeah. The Genesis fan.
Well, I don't know. Well, I definitely love me some Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This is always an important one for me. We are being joined by SegaBits.
Yes.
They're going to be here. We're going to be running a mini tournament.
Cool.
In some Sonic games.
Nice.
I believe we're having a kids scoring guild challenge on Sonic the Fighters as well.
Cool.
So we're going to be...
is that going to be a versus tournament?
I believe...
I think it has to be, because you have to beat the game to get a score on that.
Yeah.
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 I think, if I'm not mistaken, Little Player might be doing some coverage on that as well.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So. Shout out to Little Player. That's Martin Alessi's magazine.
Yes.
He was just at MGC, you know, and was promoting the magazine, and shout outs to them.
Shout out. Really, really proud of how well that magazine turned out and all the efforts that Martin put in. And
I did a little bit.
Well, you too. You too.
I captured a little for him.
Shout outs to you, Pete.
All right, I'll get one. I'll get one eventually.
But yeah, I'm very happy that it was so well received at MGC, and I know he got a lot of interest in it. So
yep,
definitely a really, really amazing magazine for kids. Just about games that are for kids.
It's, yeah, he only covers Everyone Games, Early Childhood, and E10 Plus games. There's nothing above that. No advertising, and then he's got three little reviewers that are all kids, and then three parent reviewers, so
yeah.
You get a perspective on both sides, which I thought is awesome.
I know he had at one point been searching for writing talent here, which I think one of them actually was from here, which is, how cool is that?
Yeah. He put out feelers everywhere.
Yeah.
And, yeah, yeah. Someone from here.
So that's excellent. That's mm-hmm. excellent. And again, congrats to Martin.
Yep.
And
wish him the best. Hopefully,
everybody continues. That worked on Little Player to get it.
Everyone in the credits.
In the front page.
You're in there too.
Nah.
All right, Sega Week.
Sega Week.
That's Sega next week. So that's Sega Week.
Sega Week might not, depending on how tough the tournament is on our regulars, that part of the tournament might not be covered in Little Player.
Because of the cursing?
Because of the violence from the tournament towards the players.
Okay.
So it might not be
too brutal?
It might be too brutal.
Okay.
We'll see.
Rated mature tournament. So what do we have after that?
We have the Shmups event coming up.
Yes. And we do have a date change on that. We've moved it 1 week back. It was scheduled originally on the weekend, or the week of the 12th, and now it's on the 17th.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That date is not correct. It's we pushed the date. The Shmup players from the System 11 forums are going to be here for a few days, but the actual event is going to be It starts on the 19th. I want to say.
Starts on the 19th.
Or I'm sorry. No, on the 13th. I'm sorry. Starts on the 13th and runs through close on the 19th. So,
which is a Monday.
Yeah, Monday the 13th is when we announce the games. Maybe we'll have a shmup as a mystery game. Maybe not.
Maybe.
And then Sunday the 19th is when it concludes.
Cool.
And it's going to be probably 10 games is what we're looking at again.
Wow. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can... see, that's in June?
Yep.
You know, rumor has it their work on the new expansion might be starting around then.
Cool. So that would be awesome if we could get Shang Tsung's Fight Night going, room for T20.
I cannot wait for Shang Tsung's Fight Night.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
Still no date yet. Sorry, okay. Everybody.
MK Dan.
Sorry, MK Dan.
Everyone
sorry,
from out of the country.
Everyone from out of the country. I get so many emails and Facebook messages of, do we have the date yet? And I I don't like if on a regular Saturday with no event, our busiest Saturday so far has been 798 people. And
that's crazy.
Shang Tsung's fight night is going to be, I'm going to guess that we break 1,000 people that day.
I would assume we would.
This is going to be our biggest and best one. And the stuff that we have planned for is just going to be so outrageous that I think people are going to be coming in from all over the place for it.
Cool.
So just stay hyped for it a little bit longer. It's coming.
As soon as we can, we'll announce the date.
We'll get there soon. And after that, after the Shmups event, definitely by this one, we will have the expansion hopefully 100% done. Mm-hmm. The new double expansion. The T20.
T20, that's our big yearly.
Yes.
Second annual.
Coming up quick. I'm hoping that within the next week we will have the pre-registration open. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing a couple more things than we did last year. We're going to try to get a little bit more of the town of Brookfield involved and get some just some package deals and stuff set up. So
that would be great. I hopefully we get a good turnout like we did last year and improve.
Yeah, definitely a lot of improvement. Mm-hmm. And the last one was definitely a lot of fun, and we learned a lot from it. And it'll definitely be a good one, though.
Cool. And that's October 6th and through 9th. 6, 7, 8, 9. 4 days.
Sounds right to me.
Okay.
So, I think that's all the events that we have announced right now.
Yep.
Cool. It's been 3 weeks since the last podcast. We've had so much stuff going on here. I guess starting with a surprise... surprise acquisition of none other than Beavis and Butthead.
And Jeremy got us that, didn't he?
He set it up for us, yeah. Prince Arcades. Huge shout outs to Jeremy. He was
what a find.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And in his hometown.
That's crazy.
It's like there was only 12 of these cabinets made originally. I've heard that there was a deluxe cabinet and then some of them were in the standard Midway style cabinets.
But, like the Primal Rage 2 one?
Yes.
Like one of those style? Okay.
Ours was, and they're labeled 1 through 12.
I think ours is 9?
Number 9.
Yeah.
We got ours not working. Looking up on KLOV.com, there's a few of them that people know where they are. And there's a handful of those that are not working. The drives have gone bad, or there's other issues with them, and we had ours back up and running within 24 hours, which I was pretty happy about.
That's awesome.
It was a good story. Figuring that one out, it was the only thing that would show up was the 3DO logo,
right?
And then it would just cut out, and the drive wasn't spinning, and you could tell the drive had been taken apart, and the cables going to the CD drive were.
Like the ribbon cables?
They were ribbon cables that I'd never seen before. We tried checking the discs on PC, and they would never stop spinning.
Okay.
So I had the thought to go get... I sent Sam out to go pick up a 3DO from a used gaming store, and he brought it back and took it apart and hooked the drive up, left the power from the... from the 3DO to the drive, and then...
So the 3DO was powering the drive itself?
The 3DO was actually powering the drive itself.
Okay.
We had tried it the other way, and that did not make it work.
Okay.
And then Seth and I were like, oh, let's just have that drive... It sounded like it was spinning it, but not at the right speed. So we were just like, well, let's just have the 3DO power the drive and have
the drive data cable
go into the board.
Right.
And it fired up.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wish I would have been there when it worked.
It was the screen that... It was actually a black screen, and the Beavis and Butthead theme song started playing. And then the screen came up, and it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
It is. Actually, speaking of the music, that sound system's really good on that cabinet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There is no quiet mode for it.
No.
It was rocking out pretty loud over at MGC.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a big acquisition. Again, the guy who sold it to us did not want to sell it. However, he had spent a year with it and wasn't able to get it to work. And he figured that at least if he did sell it, if we were able to fix it, people would be able to enjoy it. And
that's awesome.
That was a big thing that Jeremy told him, that he was like, it's going to be out where everybody can play it if they can get it running. And it was cool that the guy was all for that.
Cool. Didn't he come in afterwards?
He did. He came in.
Did he have any like sour grapes? Like, oh, I wish I got it working.
A little bit. Yeah. He was. you could tell. It wasn't sour grapes, but you could tell that he wished he was able to fix it,
right,
and still have it. But
well, you can come in anytime and play it now.
Oh yeah, he is more than welcome anytime. It got the article. We had actually gotten articles
everywhere.
Kotaku, the Kotaku article earlier today. I was looking at it again. It already had 54,000 54,100 views on it.
That's awesome.
Which just slightly less than Primal Rage.
It'll get there.
It will.
Yeah.
That only has 57,000 views. So
only.
Only. But that one, people. Literally 2 weeks ago, I had two guys come in, and that was why they came in.
Yeah.
So it's a big boost for us to be able to get such a rare game, and it does make people travel to have the opportunity to play something that they've never played before.
Something that you can't play anywhere else?
Yeah, it's not emulated on MAME or anything. And this was one of those things in all the comments of all the sites that were talking about us, because everybody was talking about it on Twitter and Reddit and Destructoid and
Polygon had it.
Polygon had it. Yeah. Geek.com had it. And the place that had the first article, which was Arcade Heroes.
Adam Pratt's website.
Huge shout outs to Adam Pratt for that. But everybody was like, oh, they're never going to back it up or preserve it or get it on MAME. And it's one of those things where I didn't really understand that in a lot of the forums. It's like we do everything possible to preserve games, and of course we're going to back the game up.
Yeah, it would not make sense to not back it up. Why would we not?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Whether or not it gets to MAME, we've been talking to a lot of some head guys over at MAME. From
I thought I saw one of them in the arcade last weekend, or one weekend before.
That was for the Argus event.
That's right, yeah.
And we've had some communication with those guys, and looking for some good stuff with that. The big problem with that, it's even if you back everything up, it's the problem is they have to be able to emulate the hardware.
Right. That's the same thing with Primal Rage 2. Like, yep. Everything's already backed up, but the hardware's not emulated.
Right.
I mean, because otherwise it would run.
Right.
But it doesn't.
It's one of those things where it's more to it than people think. It's not just like, oh, you copy the ROMs and then you play it.
No.
Right. So, but I don't know. Not sure why that there was on several sites. People were like, oh, they don't back stuff up. It's like...
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's important. It's important to preserve it.
Yep.
So, and not only to preserve it, but to share it.
Yeah.
And the next day we had Beavis and Butthead out, we took it down to MGC.
Yep.
And what an awesome show MGC was.
Everyone there wanted to play it.
Oh, yeah. We got it there.
Uh-oh.
We had
yeah.
a pretty good lineup of games.
We did.
We had
Primal Rage 2.
Amazing the prototypes.
Yeah. We had Freeze.
Yep.
What else did we have besides Beavis and Butthead? We had Argus.
What Judge else? Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
Prototype Trog.
Yeah.
So, 5 prototype games?
Yeah.
That's
pretty insane. Midwest Gaming Classic was awesome.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. It was busier than the best of all of them so far.
I haven't been in a couple of years, and it's grown so big.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's like it's grown like 3 or 4 times since last time I was there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's one of our. It's a really fun show. Again, we got to hang out with Martin Alessi and see a little player progress, and we had huge shout-outs first to Trickman Terry and Sushi X of
Retroids.
Retroids.
Yep.
For again giving us some space and.
Yeah, they have their console section, but they let us have a little more than half the room there.
Yeah.
Along with Skycursor on the other side of the room, which was cool.
Huge shout outs to those guys. Yeah. It's great to see so much interest in Skycursor, and had a chance to get a couple of games in on the complete level 3. And I got to talk with them and just hang out, and it was a fun time.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also brought with us to MGC none other than the legendary two video gaming legends, Brian Cullen.
Yes.
Creator of Rampage, Xenophobe, Sarge, so many great games. And Jeff Lee.
Yes.
Creator of Qbert, Mad Planets, Krull, did all the artwork for those. And Tom Malinowski as well. Don't want to forget Tom.
Yep.
He was also the lead. He was the head programmer on Argus. So those guys were signing autographs, and Jeff and Tom did a Argus presentation.
I didn't see that. I missed it.
We recorded it.
Okay,
so,
cool.
We'll be putting that out at some point. And it was Tom started with the history of video games and had a really nice presentation with that. And then Jeff had David Thiel on Skype, who did a lot of the sound for a lot of the Gottlieb games.
Mm-hmm.
And just talked about Argus.
That's really cool. It's really cool that they would share all the details, the development background, everything.
Yeah. A lot of fun, and again, that was the first time we'd taken Argus to a show, and very, very well received, and such a great game. Since then, actually, on Saturday morning, Doug Fox did his magic again, and he actually fixed the soundboard.
He's a wizard.
He is. He's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that it's just awesome now that Argus is 100% complete. And, I'm glad that we were able to share that with everybody at the show.
Yeah, I think Beavis and Butthead got more attention because it was newer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they were both very awesome additions to have.
For sure.
Yeah.
All the prototype games. Oh, we were able to bring brought a lot of rare games. We had Turkey Shootout there.
Mm-hmm.
We had Exterminator.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You did your Captain America run there.
Yeah. James did Monster Bash.
Monster Bash. We had Bubbles. We had Dragon Spirit.
That's right.
Really cool lineup. We of course, brought Qbert.
Right.
For Brian, we've made a post on this. We have a big post coming. From the production side, we went to MGC in full force with Galloping Ghost Productions.
Yeah,
I
had never seen a couple of these before in working form. But I was surprised pleasantly.
Yeah,
some good stuff.
Well, we not only had Dark Presence, which has been the epic
long
haul undertaking project that's been continuing forward. We had a few people play it.
I played it. I did a combo on you.
I felt that. Dark Presence was... We've shown it before, and we were really, really... We've had a little bit of programmer issue again lately, which has been just the constant struggle. But in this last little bit of downtime, we managed to move 3 new games forward. And 1 new cabinet.
Yep.
So, first, I guess, like the cabinet, it's called the Spook. Originally, I had wanted it to be our Dark Presence cabinet. I wanted the top part of the cabinet to be able to sink inside the bottom half, so it could travel real easily. And
the first one I saw, like the demo reel, I thought of Transformer.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon had changed it up with such a great idea. Instead of it on these, the way I was having it would kind of come up on rails. and he changed it to where the top actually spun.
Yeah.
And folded inside of itself, and great design. Such an improvement over what I had had in place. And now it's such a cool cabinet. We had a lot of people really interested in it. We can use that as a arcade standard cabinet. We could use it to put other arcade games in. We're working on a new CRT version. Currently is an LCD version.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to keep exploring that.
Cool. What does Spook stand for?
It's a stackable, portable, opening operations console.
Not cabinet?
Cabinet. Cabinet. Sorry.
Spook.
Spook.
There be some people calling it Spock.
No.
No?
S-P-O-O-C.
All right.
But yeah, then after that, going on with Brandon's, Brandon has been working on a project called Fish in a Barrel.
It's pretty cool looking.
Four-player light gun game. Cabinet is an actual barrel.
Yeah.
And there's fish swimming around. It's very chaotic light gun shooter. So cool. Like,
cabinet looks great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed by how that cabinet looked.
Yeah. That was getting a lot of attention, and you know, I'm so fortunate to work with the people that I work with. Like, we had one of our programmers quit.
Oh, no.
Right before the show.
That's
like
good.
A week before the show, and just the stress of the show coming up was getting to be a lot for him, and unfortunately. He left, and the cool thing was that, and we were looking at the game like, oh, we still have to bring it. It won't be playable, but we'll at least show it.
Mm-hmm.
And Soup Delgado stepped up,
yeah,
and figured out how to program in such a small window of time and got the game fully playable.
Well, that's impressive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And it's like, everybody on the production side now is getting so quick to learn things, and we've got Phil Pop stepping up and learning 3D, and our guy Emilio, who's doing the full 3D modeling and stuff, and just everybody really pulling together and making...
Mm-hmm. Sam's doing the app stuff, right?
Sam is still... Yeah, Sam is... pounding out all that QR code stuff that we have, and that's a huge undertaking.
That's massive, yeah.
I know he's anxious to get back onto more typical production stuff, but it's the how all the guys, and Nick as well, and Jeremiah, those guys have so much going on the production side. Just amazing, and it's an honor to work with so many great people.
Cool.
One of the other big announcements at MGC was Galloping Ghost Production and Game Refuge have kind of teamed up on some stuff.
It's a joint venture?
Yes.
Cool.
Brian Colon, who had done, again, Rampage and...
Xenophobe,
and we brought Rampage World Tour and Pigskin 621 AD to the show, and everybody was playing those. It's just... People
walked in the room. Oh, it's Rampage.
Yeah.
It was a pretty common thing to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, Brian said that most people asked about Xenophobe.
Really?
As was like, that was one of their favorites.
Cool.
That's definitely a diehard
gaming
crowd when they're throwing out Xenophobe. But yeah, so we've teamed up with Brian Colon to work on some games. Our first is Raiders Run, which is a two-player trackball game. It's kind of like a balance of speed versus greed. Can you get through the maze and pick up treasures and everything? And
what I saw, is it kind of like the Sonic game we have on the floor in some ways?
No.
No?
Like, it's a little bit like Gauntlet.
Okay.
Like, the control-wise especially, it's... And in talking with Brian, I had mentioned the Sonic game. I'm like, oh, if we're working on this game, we gotta really look at Sonic, because I've seen anybody who's playing Sega Sonic the Hedgehog is having the time of their life playing it. It's like, visually, it's like you can see people having fun instantly.
Right away, yeah.
And it's not... It's its own game. It's like the game is really fun without making it take from what Sonic has. It's different.
Okay.
It's different, but kind of labyrinth maze runner, very very cool.
It's just so you pick up stuff and you're trying to get more than the other guy, but also try not to die.
Well, it's try to collect as much treasure and have a night, figure out where the exit is.
Okay.
And, like, you can stay in the maze longer, but there's a balance of getting more treasure or getting out.
Okay.
Because there's a big bonus for getting out.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Then lastly, the other game that we had was Spectre Files.
Yeah. The video looked awesome for that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a game that was filmed in 1985. It was supposed to come out on Laserdisc and never did.
Yeah.
And we're teaming up and finishing it now.
That's... Oh, man. It's really cool looking. Like, these Laserdisc-looking games... Is it going to run on Laserdisc, ours?
Ours, no.
Okay.
It's going to run off
That's
our...
good.
Yeah. We'll save... Alleviate that problem area and use our own hardware and stuff for it. All three games are getting... All four games, including Dark Presence, are all getting custom cabinets. Spectre Files, Brian did all the artwork on it for that and Raiders Run. And they just turned out amazing. Like, his art style is so standout-ish. And just
it is, you know it's his immediately.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But definitely stay tuned to the Facebook and the Productions page, because we're going to be posting some big updates on those very soon.
Spectre Files, is there... Do you want to go in more in depth than that?
Or, okay. Sure.
Is there going to be any additional filming to be done in that? Because, like, before, do you know if everything was complete and you're just putting it all together?
I've seen all the footage.
Okay.
It was on 16mm film.
Wow.
And we had that processed and transferred, and we're working with it to put together the game on it.
Okay.
And, we're not sure exactly what's going to happen with it, like whether it's going to be a mass marketed game or if it's a one-off, or we'll see.
Whatever comes of it, it looks just really interesting. I like the cheesy horror like vibe, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's Brian is, you can see all his games have his sense of humor in them.
Yeah.
And this is no different. It's live actors, but there's jokes in it, and it's fun. It's fun.
Cool. I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. It's moving well, so stay tuned for more updates on that.
Cool. All right. What did we, just this last weekend was the Video Game Law Summit you were at, right?
Yes.
Did you moderate that, or were you a member? Were you doing panels, or what was going on?
I was the moderator of the History of Video Games in Chicago, and it was myself as moderator, Brian Colin, Jeff Lee, Josh Shui, who from Midway fame, who worked on Mortal Kombat 4 and WrestleMania. And,
he's doing the documentary now.
And he's doing the Midway documentary.
Yeah.
Daniel Pacina
nice.
Showed up, and he kind of came in last minute and really awesome and happy that he came on. He had some great stories. And then Marty Goldberg, who's a video game historian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun. Huge, huge shout-outs to Ross and the Chicago Video Game Law Summit. It was a lot of fun. Very informative. We got there like 8 o'clock. And the legal side of gaming is super interesting. And
now, what was discussed? The legal side of like putting out content, or the protection that the content has, or
it was kind of there was five panels.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was the only one that wasn't really about law stuff. Ours was definitely a little more entertainment side.
Right.
there was some stuff on the new additions to Law, the video game Law. Mm-hmm. There's a panel on publicity and harassment.
Okay.
And then like copyright stuff and some very solid panels.
Cool. I'd be interested to learn about the copyright stuff, like putting videos of us playing on YouTube. Like, I'm always interested in how like people would, you know, respond. You know, if someone said, "Take my video down," I don't want our game to show up on YouTube. I mean, I don't know the legality of that, so I'd be interested to know.
They went into that quite a bit about like fair use and everything. And
YouTube's running into big issues with that now. Like, a lot of people are. I mean, certain companies are big into like, don't show our games on the internet. Even though you're adding your own commentary and playing the game, you know, you're transforming it, making it a transformative art, but they're still asking you to take it down, which is kind of wrong.
Yeah.
But I guess that's a huge thing right now on YouTube.
It is. Yeah. It is. Well, and definitely check out their website.
Yeah, I will put a link at the end of the, in the show notes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get invited back to the next one. That was, we actually brought, they were doing they had indie games there too, which was really cool.
Nice.
We ended up bringing 5 games
ourselves,
and then we were in the room with all these indie games that were coming out, which was really cool. All made in Chicago. So.
Oh, nice.
It was awesome. Awesome. A lot of fun. And hope we get, we went last year. Hope we get to go again next year.
Yeah. So. Cool. That's about all I had. Oh, recently, this has kind of been a new discovery to me, but it's been on Orcade for a while. There's power rankings on Orcade based on your number of first place finishes by location. And do you want to go into the rankings now, or do you want to do it next podcast? Or
Why don't we do it next podcast if you think, unless you think you can go through it.
No, I'll give it some more time. I'll put some more thought into it. So everyone, try to get as many scores in before next podcast so you can raise up on the rankings. But Orcade is... I'll put a link to the actual power rankings. We'll go into it and kind of break down how it works in the next podcast. And, you know, we'll give a shout-out to all the top placers as well.
Very cool. Very cool.
Cool.
Well, I guess that just about wraps it up. So thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Doc Mac, again, from the Galloping Ghost Arcade.
This is Pete Hahn, GGA Hahn, as always.
He is the gamer of the year, everyone.
That I've been told.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon.
All right, take care, everyone. See you later.
Thanks, everybody.